From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, August 18th, 2025. Following a national trend, ICE arrests dipped in Maine in July as compared to the previous month. But as Ari Snyder reports, arrest rates are still far higher than last year.
ICE arrested 27 people in Maine through late July, about 20% fewer than in June. That's according to the Deportation Data Project, which has been regularly publishing government statistics obtained through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. Despite the month-to-month decrease, the rate of ICE arrests in Maine in July was double last year's daily average. Of those arrested in the state in July, only about 15% had criminal convictions. The rest had either pending charges or other alleged immigration violations. Meanwhile, monthly Border Patrol arrests in Maine have also fallen from a peak in April, but those numbers also remain elevated as compared to previous years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry has joined 21 other states' attorneys general in a lawsuit against the Trump administration for requiring states to support its immigration enforcement efforts in order to receive federal funds to help victims of crime. Carol Bousquet reports.
The complaint challenges the Trump administration policy of withholding more than $600 million in congressionally authorized funds to support victims and survivors of crime from states who refuse to support Trump's immigration enforcement efforts. Congress enacted the Victims of Crime Act more than 40 years ago to provide grants for advocacy services, medical, funeral, and burial expenses, and lost wages. In the last 4 years, Maine received more than $22 million in victim compensation and assistance funding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
The Cumberland County Sheriff is warning residents about another scam. The latest example is a letter from an entity that calls itself the Federal Tax Authorities. It suggests a lien has been filed against the individual's residence for unpaid taxes. To settle up, the homeowner is asked to call a telephone number or risk having the residence seized and money garnished from personal bank accounts. The sheriff's office says no credible agencies will demand cash payments. Residents are asked to report suspicious mail to local law enforcement. Maine Congressman Jared Golden today reiterated his support for releasing documents related to the government's investigation of accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. As Steve Missler reports, Golden says disclosure of the so-called Epstein files is important because President Trump and other politicians have built up America's expectations.
A Democrat who represents the Trump-friendly 2nd District, Golden said on Maine Calling that the president and other elected officials nurtured many of the conspiracies related to Epstein and charges that he trafficked underage girls.
It's the American people who have been told repeatedly by many elected officials, to include the sitting president of the United States, that this was an issue they should pay attention to, that it was indicative of a cover-up on behalf of the wealthy and the powerful and the elite in this country.
Trump has previously called for a full investigation and at times suggested that prominent Democrats are implicated in the scandal. He has since called the whole affair a hoax amid speculation that he might be in the investigative files. House Speaker Mike Johnson kicked off the traditional August recess early to avoid a vote designed to compel release of the documents. But the issue shows little sign of abating and could be center stage when Congress returns in September. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
State officials are warning of an increased presence of hammerhead worms, a non-native terrestrial flat worm that feeds on worms and other grubs.
They're being found more often, and it's probably related to the fact that, you know, people are more aware of them.
State horticulturalist Gary Fish says the worms with an anvil-shaped head and a stripe down the back have been spotted in Maine for at least the last 5 years. But this year, reported sightings of this invasive worm species are on the rise.
And they've been reported from York all the way up to Farmington, and then over to Bar Harbor, so kind of that triangular area.
Fish is urging the public to report sightings to the state or post them on the website iNaturalist. He also recommends putting on gloves, since the worms contain a toxin, and placing them in soapy water or in the freezer to kill them. As President Trump's trade war with Canada grinds on, some border town businesses in Maine say they're losing Canadian customers. In Calais, where many businesses rely on shoppers from across the river in St. Stephen, New Brunswick, monthly border crossings have fallen by about a third. And Azari Snyder reports it's putting a strain on long-standing economic ties.
So we're going to line up two by two in a line straight back.
On the American side of the downtown border bridge linking Calais and St. Stephen, several dozen residents, city leaders, and elected officials line up for the opening ceremony of the International Homecoming Festival. Now in its 52nd year, it's a days-long celebration of cross-border friendship and camaraderie with events on both sides of the St. Croix River. The theme this year, We Hug It Out.
Fall in, forward, touch!
Behind an American Legion color guard, they march onto the bridge. A delegation from St. Stephen, accompanied by a kilted bagpiper, walks out to meet them. In the middle of the International Bridge, the two groups merge into one. Brian Cornish is a council member from St. Stephen.
Whatever happens in politics, it doesn't happen in Calais and St. Stephen. We still love the American people, and hopefully they do us too. Simple as that.
But love alone may not be enough for Calais businesses to keep their Canadian clientele. Since President Trump rolled out 25% tariffs on many Canadian goods in March and Canada responded with reciprocal tariffs, monthly border crossings are down about a third compared to last year. That's in line with a statewide trend, and the loss is rippling across town. At Johnson's True Value Hardware store in Calais, Calvin Walker stands in front of an enormous riding lawnmower.
This mower right here is a commercial mower. This sells for about $12,000. This is like the Cadillac of all mowers.
Walker works in sales. Until a few months ago, he estimates at least a third of his customers were Canadian, mostly coming in for big-ticket items like mowers, grills, and kayaks. That was before the tariffs. Walker says he's tried to offer discounts to entice Canadian shoppers, but the stream of cross-border customers has slowed to a trickle.
I mean, I don't believe these tariffs are good for any of us in this border communities or any of the border communities in our country for that matter.
Like the majority of voters in Washington County, Walker says he voted for Trump, but now he's concerned about the long-term impact of the president's trade policy. Across Calais, the loss of Canadian shoppers is being felt unevenly. Several grocery and retail businesses say sales are down anywhere from 10 to 35% due to fewer Canadian shoppers. A couple downtown restaurant owners, on the other hand, say they haven't seen much of a change at all. Calais Mayor Marcia Rogers says it's actually Canada's reciprocal tariff that is having the most direct impact locally because it discourages New Brunswick residents from bringing goods back across the border.
Retail businesses, it's hurt more than our restaurants because obviously they're not bringing something back.
That sent retailers such as Heather Henry Tienen scrambling to make up the difference.
So we did a lot of quick pivoting, right? What else can we do?
Henry Tienen steps into the package hub, a small warehouse filled with cardboard boxes at her family business, CNE Feeds.
It looks like a lot of packages here, but I'm telling you, this is empty.
She says she typically serves more than 10,000 Canadian customers who can have their parcels delivered here to avoid the high cost of international shipping. Then they come pick them up in person. But when the tariffs hit, Henry Tienen says revenue dropped 50% almost instantly. So she added a garden supply center and an online store to try to reach more customers. That's helped make up for much of the business that she lost, but she says it's still below pre-tariff levels. Across the river in St. Stephen, during the morning rush at the downtown Tim Hortons, there are signs that President Trump's trade war is taking a lasting toll.
And, you know, we took such pride in our St. Stephen and Calais, Maine relationship, and it's really hurting that relationship.
Rose Mitchell, a pre-K teacher in St. Stephen, is having breakfast with a group of friends. She says she used to cross the border once or twice a week to go shopping, mostly for classroom supplies, sometimes for clothing.
As the tariffs go up, of course, I'll still go for gas, but probably nothing else.
Even as local businesses grapple with new trade war economics, Calais Mayor Marcia Rogers says Calais and St. Stephen have made it through sharp declines in border crossings before, in the aftermath of 9/11 and more recently during COVID.
We've been partners, family members, neighbors for two centuries now, and we will make it through this.
Federal administrations come and go, but the cross-border friendship between these two communities, she says, isn't going anywhere. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Ukrainians in Maine. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.